So thank you everyone for standing by and welcome to the bonus webinar for the students of the Email Prospecting for Freelancers Who Hate Cold Calling program here at International Freelancers Academy. So I'd like to turn the call now over to our host, Ed Gandia.
Hey, thanks, Crystal. So in this bonus private webinar, which is for all you guys who are taking the email prospecting course, we got a treat for you today. My colleague James Clear is going to show you how to email important people, and specifically how to pinpoint, how to contact, and how to develop relationships with these important people using email. And I'm talking about, when I say important people, I'm talking about best-selling authors, speakers, celebrities, super successful entrepreneurs, and other famous individuals who can help you in your business. The reason I wanted to have James speak with you today is that he's a true pro at this. He spent several months developing a proven emailing framework based on sincerity and long-term relationship development, not tactics that don't work and are only going to be perceived as spam. And in this webinar, he's going to give you a glimpse into his system, and he's going to share some great ideas with us, things that he's not only developed but put into practice himself, things that actually work. Let me just tell you a little bit about James before I turn it over to him. He's the founder of Passive Panda, which is a website with really excellent free information, advice, and other resources that teach you how to have more time, more money, and more freedom. James has delivered speeches on business strategy and network in the U.S., the U.K., and Switzerland, and he's been a freelancer himself as a graphic designer, web developer, and copywriter. So he knows and understands our world. So with that, James, welcome. It's great to have you here.
All right. Well, thanks for that introduction, Ed. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to today, so thanks for having me on. Let's just go ahead and jump right in here. Hopefully you guys have had the chance to log on, look at the slides, and see what we're going through. But even if not, I'm going to do my very best to talk us through each portion as well so that we can make sure this is a really excellent webinar today. All right, so I'm just going to take control of the presentation here. Thanks so much for joining me. As Ed said, I'm James Clear, the founder of Passive Panda. I've done extensive work as a freelancer myself, so I feel like I'm very in tune with the problems and challenges that you're facing on a day-to-day basis. And hopefully this information will not only be something that you'll find useful in the future, but also be filled with tips and tactics that you can put into use right now today. My goal is to make this webinar, this teleseminar, the best that you have ever attended. And I want to do that by giving you clear steps and strategies that you can take and use right away. What are some of the things we're going to be talking about? Okay, we're going to talk about two ways to find email addresses. We're going to talk about two ways to write the perfect email. And I'm going to give you a live teardown of a successful email that I sent and give you the exact details on why that worked and where I sent it to. And it's a great example of an email that you can use or a structure that you can use not only to get more media attention, which is what I use it for, but also for interacting with people who are gatekeepers, so to speak. They have access to the things that you want or the resources that you need, and you can now get in touch with them and get great responses from them. In addition, I have a very special bonus at the end of the webinar just for the people who are attending this, and I put this together just for Ed. Him and I are good friends, and so I think you'll really enjoy what I've got coming up here. All right, that said, before we start, and I know we only have about 45 minutes or so, and I want to be respectful of that today because I know you're all busy, but before we get going, I just want you to commit to one thing. I want you to commit to taking action. Now I know it may sound hokey or whatever, but wherever you're at, if you can write it down, if you can say it to yourself, whatever works best for you, just do something right now. Just say, write down, I commit to taking action, whatever that may be for you, because you need to, and I know you guys are action takers because you already bought this course from Ed, right? So I know that you're willing to invest in yourself, but write it down right now because I want you to commit to doing the strategies that I'm going to give you because I know that these things work, not just because, they sound good or they look nice, but because I've actually used them in real life and put them into practice, and I've seen the effect it's had for me. Not only, it's unbelievable how these strategies have worked across email for me in my own experience. It has nothing to do with just business tactics or whatever it may be. I've used these exact strategies for communication in all venues. Just a week or so ago, I was talking to Ed, telling him how I went on this amazing trip to Russia. This is about a month ago now, completely for free for an entire week. And literally the reason that that entire process started and that I was able to have that amazing opportunity was because of the emails that I was sending back and forth with people. I met this woman over email. We corresponded twice. We met in person one time, and then all of a sudden I had a free trip to Russia. And that is, you know, that's completely outside of the realm of freelancing, but these skills translate across the entire spectrum. So I'm really excited to share these things with you today. So commit to taking action, and I guarantee these strategies will work for you. All right, let's talk about email. Now, I realized that I was doing a ton of email myself, and so I said, okay, this would probably be useful for people, right? Email is one of the widespread modes of communication, so I know that people are using it on a day-to-day basis. Every A-lister, celebrity, executive, entrepreneur, anybody you know that is important, might have access to the resources you want, or seems like an interesting person that you would, you know, like to have in your network, they all use email. So we might as well try to figure the problems out. So to figure out the problems of email, I surveyed over 1,000 people, and all kinds of stuff was pouring in about what people like, what they hate about email, some common phrases that they, you know, just things that would pop up that annoy people on a day-to-day basis. This is some of the things that people were saying. These are quotes now. Let's see. People misunderstand me or never seem to get my message, even in the first or even second email. See if you recognize yourself in some of these phrases here. Here's another one. I can't count on a timely response from my clients. And a third one here. I feel like most of the communication is lost when I can't hear someone's voice. So there's definitely these gaps, these communication gaps when we email people, right? Like you don't know if they're going to respond. Sometimes you don't even know if they're reading your message. I had one person who sent me an email and said, you know, email is good, but sometimes I feel like I'm just sending stuff into an electronic abyss. I have no idea if it's ever going to come out. I don't know where it went. I can't tell if people are going to get in touch with me again. And it's not that they're disrespecting me, but they certainly aren't valuing my emails. And even if they are reading them, they definitely aren't responding to them. So these are some major issues that people have with email. And like I said, even if you can track down an email address, because everybody uses it, right? Executives, entrepreneurs, all of them. Everybody has an email account. But even if you can track down the address, how do you get them to respond to you? So these are some of the things that we're going to talk about today. Before I get into the specific tactics, I want you to think about one thing. What have you been struggling with email? Because as I go through these tactics and share these different strategies that I've used, some things are going to work for you, for sure, and other things may not seem appropriate, but I wanted you to make sure that you pull out the bits and pieces that work for your situation right now, right? Because we're all in different circumstances, and things change week to week for us individually, let alone, you know, to think that we're all in the same situation at once. That could never happen. So make sure that you think, you know, if you have a chance to write it down right now or type it out in a Word document, just what have you been struggling with? Spend a moment to think about the problems that you've had with email and who you would email if you could send something that, you know, if you could send the perfect message, if the result would be that they would get back to you and give you the response you wanted, who would you get in touch with? So if you think about those things, then let's go ahead and transition into some specific tactics that you can use. I want to just make sure that you're concentrating on this. You know, if you're on the phone, if you're on the road, wherever you're tuning in from, that's great. If you're on a computer, shut your browser down. Do whatever you can to, you know, to concentrate on this. Pull out a pen and paper. Take notes, because I want to make sure that you take all these strategies and really put them into practice and make them work for you. So with that said, let's jump right in and talk about two ways to find email addresses, because sometimes you either A, know who the person is you want to talk to but can't find their email address, or B, you know the type of person that you need to get in touch with. You know, for example, if you were a freelancer, and you know, as most of you are, and you wanted to get in touch with a specific person that you could cooperate on, you'd say, wow, I really need somebody in, you know, industry Y, but I don't know anybody there. So this is a great way to solve that problem, and it's called the site operator. A lot of people don't know this, but search engines like Google, for instance, have these different operators that you can type into them, and they'll spit back specific information to you. So in addition to the fact that you can just search for something on Google, you can actually direct Google to a certain area. So here's the example that I love to use. This is a great one. Let's say, for example, that you had a business in fashion, or you're a freelancer who helps people in the fashion industry. Maybe fashion's a passion for you, but you're a freelance copywriter. So you wanted to find, you know, a fashion firm that you could work with as a copywriter. Maybe you could do some digital marketing for them, whatever it may be, right? So you said, okay, I want to find a fashion company, but I don't know where to look. So this is a great example of using the site operator to make this work for you. you type site, S-I-T-E, colon, into Google, and then you give it a specific site. So in this example, I'm going to say, let's use the New York Times. So you could say site, colon, http://nytimes.com. Okay, so you just type the web address in right after site, and then type whatever word that you're looking for. So it would just be site, nytimes.com, fashion, or fashion designer, or fashion company, whatever. And if you type that into Google, you'll notice that all of the results that come back are specifically from the New York Times. And so the great thing about this is that it gives you two things. One, it'll give you all the articles related to your specific industry. And remember, fashion is just the example here. This works for any industry, any, you know, whatever you're looking for, whatever's relevant to you. So it gives you all these results and articles that are about companies in the fashion industry or people in the fashion industry. These are all potential people for you to get in touch with, remember. But it also will spit back to you the, when you click on each of those articles, at the top is the byline for the author, right? Well, then you can click on any of those authors, all these people write for the New York Times, specifically about fashion in this example. And if you click on the author's name, then you can contact them through their contact form. And they'll be able to give you, you know, and maybe you can ask them, hey, who are two or three of the hot companies right now? They absolutely would know because it's their job to write about that, right? And so this is a great way to collect a list of potential people to contact, a list of potential clients that could help you, a list of, you know, designers and other companies that may be influential in your particular industry. And so that's an excellent way to discover the type of people that you can email. And in many cases, you'll come up just with their email address or a contact form right away when you click on the article or click through to their specific site. In some cases, you may have to do a little bit of extra digging, but that's a great way to get started. So that's if you know the type of person that you need to get in touch with, but you don't know who specifically to talk to. So the second way here to find email addresses, and this is just, I should mention, this is just two of, I believe, seven different methods I have for finding email addresses. So I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg here. So the second option is called social search. And you may have noticed this a little bit more, but you know, sites like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn are starting to gain a lot of social value, right, because everybody's connected there. And what the search engines are realizing is that if your friend suggests a, you know, a designer or a freelancer on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, then you might be more in tune or more likely to get in touch with them because your friend said it, as opposed to just something that popped up randomly on Google. So Google's taken advantage of all this power that's in Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, and they've incorporated it into their search results. So if you what you need to do is you go to Google. They're starting to roll it out to everyone here, so you won't have to do anything soon. But right now I think it's still in lab or experiment mode. So if you go to Google and click on Google Labs or just search Google Labs, then you should be able to, they have a list of the experiments that are going on. You can join their social search experiment, something, it's titled something similar to that if it's not exactly social search. And if you join that, then results will start to show up from people in your social network, so people you are friends with on Facebook, people you follow on Twitter, and so on. The power of this for email addresses is huge. So this is, I love doing this because it's worked multiple times for me. If you link your profiles, your Twitter profile, your Facebook profile, so all you have to do is be logged in, and then you join this social search experiment on Google, you can hop on Google, type in a person's name, the specific person's name that you want to get the email address for, and then email address, so just John Smith email address, and hit enter, and it will search through not only all the results that are on the web, but also all these tweets and Facebook messages and all this other stuff that's been sent out, right? I found an email address for someone I wanted to get in touch with that was sent out in a tweet 2.5 years ago. I never would you have gone through Twitter, right, and searched through 2.5 years of someone's tweets. It would just take too long. It would be ridiculous. You'd never do that. But Google brought it up for me in under a second. And so that's like a really powerful way if you know the specific person that you want to get in touch with, but you don't know, you can't find their email address. Because a lot of these people, you know, people gradually increase in fame and it becomes more difficult to get in touch with them, right? Well, maybe they sent out an email address on Twitter a year ago, but now they took it off their website because they don't want to get in touch with people, or they don't want, you know, they just get too many emails. So this is a great way to discover things from the past using a tool of the future, so to speak. All right, so those are two great ways to find email addresses, the site operator and social search. Let's move on to two ways to write the perfect email. So once you know who you want to email, there's this point where you have to determine what type of message am I going to craft, right? Like, how am I going to get in touch with them? And a lot of people worry about this, and for good reason, because words have power, right? They have value. And the way that you choose to phrase things or the way that you choose to say things can drastically dictate the response and the action that people take. And so the first example that I want to give is the difference between prevention versus promotion. Because people will respond to things in very different ways. And I've seen this work. It's amazing how many times this has worked. I've seen this work not only in my own interactions, but also in that of my family members and some of my friends, because a lot of them don't have, I'm an entrepreneur, I've been a freelancer, and so sometimes my network is a little bit different than someone who works in the corporate world, so to say, but this tactic works great across all venues. And the reason why is this. There are usually, and it depends on the situation, of course, but oftentimes people respond to things in one of two ways. They're either a promotion person, which is to say that they want to be sold on something, right? They want to see the opportunity, they want to see the benefits, they want to see why something is good. Or they're a prevention person, which is, I want to limit the downside. If this has an opportunity to make me, if there's the possibility this might make me look bad, I'd like to avoid it. They try to minimize the bad, and the other people try to, go after or grab all the good opportunity. And there's nothing right or wrong with either way. It's just that you need to realize what type of person you're dealing with. So two phrases that sort of sum this up. If you were writing an email to a promotion person, someone who is the type of person who jumps on an opportunity, the type of person who says, let's go get them. You're right, they're a real go-getter. They really enjoy the idea of doing something new, of going after something that, seems like a good idea. Then you could start your email off or start your pitch off with, this could be a great opportunity for us, right? It's something that you can collaborate on. It's something that they can get, they can get excited about. And so that's a good phrase for a promotional person. Now, on the flip side, we all have prevention people as well that we deal with, right? And if you wanted to pitch them on the same opportunity, you simply phrase it a slightly different way. So instead of saying, this is a great opportunity for us, you could say, this is something that we probably don't want to miss out on. Or it would be a shame if we lost out on this chance. So if you simply highlight the downside as opposed to highlighting the upside, then you could see a drastic difference. And one example of this is one of my family members works in insurance, and they used the promotion angle like 3 times in a row for I'd say it was probably over a span of 2 weeks. They sent this person 3 different emails just saying, hey, this is a great opportunity for us. The next time they'd say, there are all these benefits that would come if we worked with this client, and they just keep selling the positive benefits that would come. Nothing. Their boss didn't get back to them, didn't really say anything, just kept avoiding the topic. Then they sent an email after the 2 weeks that just said, look, this is a really great opportunity. I wouldn't want us to hurt ourselves by missing out on this. And they got an email within 15 minutes. So it's just the difference between realizing whether you're dealing with someone who, really enjoys going after an opportunity, or someone who's trying to limit the possibility of them looking bad, or just limit the downside. So think about the two and about the type of people that you're emailing and whether one or the other will work better. So that's the first one. The second way to write a perfect email is to address what I call the 3 worries. So whenever someone emails you, there are 3 things that they worry about. And this is true for all of us. And worry here is using quotation marks, because I don't want, it's not like people sit around fretting about these things. But these are 3 questions that go through people's minds whenever they receive a new email. And this is true for all of us. The first is, who is this person, right? So if you're cold emailing someone, or if you're getting in touch with someone new, then odds are they don't recognize your name. And so people are going to want to know, who is this that's getting in touch with me? The second thing is, why are they contacting me, right? So like, why did you choose me to send your message to? Why do you think that the two of us should connect on this topic as opposed to someone else? And then the third, and the one that most people forget, is how much time is this going to take? Right? Because when most people process their email, and this is something that came through, remember I did that survey with over 1,000 people, and often people would get those surveys or respond to that survey and tell me, email just takes so much time for me. I just want to process it and be done with it. And when I receive a long email from someone, I can't deal with it right then. It's just too much, right? I have 30 other emails in my inbox right now, and I need to get to all those. I just can't touch this long one. So if you address those three worries, then you will have a much better chance at improving your response rate and getting people to respond to your emails. So I'll give you an example here. Oftentimes, I think that you can address at least two of those three worries in the subject line itself. So here are three examples of subject lines that I've used that have worked pretty well. The first is three quick interview questions, right? It tells you exactly how many things are involved. There's three questions. They're real quick, not going to take you that long. And it gives you the purpose, the why. Why are you emailing me? Because I want to interview you, right? And then inside the email body, I can tell them who I am and, you know, and why this is relevant, and then give them the three questions. But if you quantify something with a number, you'll find that people are much more likely to read through to the end of your message. And this is true regardless of what you're writing. And the reason is because numbers give people context about where they are in a document compared to where they need to go to finish it. And so think about it like this. If there is a two-page document, right, and you're going to read it, if you start reading and you don't know how long it is, then you have no idea how far you need to go to the end. But if you give someone that same document and break each paragraph out and say, you know, there are six paragraphs, so you just say 6 points on, you know, X. If someone's on point number three, they know, oh, I have three more to go, right? And so they're incentivized internally in their mind to finish the message, to finish reading, because they know how far they've gone and how much further they need to go. It helps them put a context around the message, and this works great in email. If you're going to ask somebody a question, or if you're going to have a topic that you're going to talk about, and you know, usually you would list bullet points, avoid bullet points in emails. Make sure you number them. It makes it easier for people to respond, so they can say, you know, 1, 2, 3 to your question, 1, 2, 3. And it also helps them quantify how much effort is involved in the email, because they know how far they have to read to finish. Okay, so another example of a subject line that could meet two of the three big questions or three worries: meeting on Friday, ? So this tells you why, well, I like to meet with you, and then also when do you need this by? Well, at least by, you know, Thursday or Friday, because that's when we want to meet, right? So it quantifies the response time as well. And then the last one is referred from Lisa Smith. Okay, so you're getting in touch with me. Why are you getting in touch with me? Because we have someone in common. And then it gives me a little bit of context as well about who you are. You know, you're a friend of a friend. And so those are three examples of email subject lines that can answer and address some of these worries. And like I said, you should usually be able to address at least two of the three in the subject, and make sure that you address all three in the message, even if you don't get to, you know, to all of them in the subject line. All right, so I want to move on now to a live teardown of a successful email that I sent, so that we can go through this process. You can see what a successful message looks like, and also this can be used as a general template for you guys when you reach out to someone. So a little bit of the context on this. I wrote an article. I wanted it to be syndicated by this news source called Alltop, and so I sent this out to one of their editors, and I said, her name's Lisa. I said, "Hi, Lisa. I've been following your tweets and work for Holy Cow and for work on Holy Cow for Guy, which is the Holy Cow's the name of this segment that I wanted it on. Most of the articles I read don't fit the Alltop style, but this one does. I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds by suggesting an article. I just think your readers would enjoy it." And then, boom, the name of the article: 27 Simple Ways to Become a Better Negotiator, and a link to it. That's it. Cheers, James. Whole message is over now. So that's short, only takes, you know, 15 seconds to read, but let's look at it in a little bit more detail here about why it works. First of all, I give the first sentence immediately gives context to the email about why I know who she is and why I've been getting in touch with her, right? I've been following your tweets and your work, and, you know, so she knows that I'm familiar with the process. Then I also, my second sentence is completely different than what most people are going to say on their pitch, right? If they pitch somebody, they say, "Hey, I got this great thing. It does X, Y, and Z. You should check it out because it's awesome," right? Instead, I just say, "Hey, look, most of the stuff I write doesn't fit your guys' style. I realize that, right? Now, I'm admitting up front that I'm not going to come on strong, that, you know, I'm not here to push something on you. I realize that if this isn't a big fit, it's not a big deal, because most of the stuff I write isn't a big fit. But then I just say, but this one does, right? I've been following your work, and I know that even though most of the things I write don't fit, this particular article seems like it would go well. That's the tone that I'm taking with the email, which is nice because that seems conversational as opposed to a pressing pitch. I also say, I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds by suggesting an article, right? Like, I don't want to, you know, do something that seems wrong. I'm not sure the right way to do this. Sometimes it's okay to say that in an email or have a phrase that hints at that. You don't need to have all the answers, right? I think a lot of people avoid talking to someone or reaching out to someone new, someone big, because they're like, oh, well, I don't know what to say, right? Like, I don't know, I'm not sure how they respond to people. Aside from the fact that they're just people like you and me, right, and they probably have conversations like the rest of us do, you don't need to have all the answers, right? It's okay to admit that, you know, like, I'm not sure if this is the right way to go about this, but I thought this was really interesting and that you would like it. Here you go, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with saying that. And then that's even how I finish it, right? I just say, I just think your readers would enjoy it, right? So that's, like, super simple. And then I just give the link, or the name of the article and the link. So if she's reading this, and you can be sure that this lady's receiving all kinds of emails every day, right? And that's another thing to consider. I have noticed a significant trend with my emails. The shorter the message, the faster the reply. And that is almost, without fail, that is almost true. People love to procrastinate, right? And so when you get a long email in your inbox, that is just another excuse to procrastinate. Because it's going to take a while to read, it's going to take a while to respond to, you got to figure out what the most important point is, all this stuff. So the shorter you make your messages, the better off you will be. And so the wrap-up to this story or to this email is that I got a response from her within 30 minutes, and my article was live on their site within an hour. So it was a total success. It was awesome, and I was really excited when I said it. So feel free to use that structure or similar framework in any of your stuff. You know, I don't own rights to this or anything. I don't think anybody can own the rights to an email. So feel free to use that however you wish. All right. Now I want to transition right before we'll get into Q&A real quick here, but I just want to transition and let you know about a special bonus that I put together just for you guys. As I said, each of the tips and tactics that I've shared with you so far in this last half hour, those are just the tip of the iceberg, right? I gave you two ways to find email addresses. In my full course, How to Email Important People, I have seven. I gave you two ways to write the perfect email. I've got a six-step process and framework that outlines entire emails that you should write, everything that you can do. Just the way I broke down that email right there, I do that, you know, I give you, like, templates, all kinds of stuff that you can use. And all of these things are in the How to Email Important People course. And to give you a better idea of what that includes, here's what you get. So there's a 60-page guide that's filled with real screenshots, examples, proven strategies that have worked for me, everything that you could imagine you would need to email important people. I give you three video tutorials where I show you live on the computer how I discover and track down hard-to-find email addresses, and just sort of take you through that process of finding things and showing you exactly where to get the information for the people you want to get in touch with. There's also a 35-minute Q&A session, and in this session I recorded the 17 most crucial email questions that people ask and the problems that people are dealing with, and then I give you the specific answers that you need to address those. Plus, I've included massive bonuses with this guide. There's a spam avoidance report, so this is actually a big issue for people that a lot of people don't realize. When you send an email, if you have the wrong words in your email, sometimes that goes to spam. And so a reason you're not getting responses from people is because they never see it in the first place. So there are specific tactics in this report to keep your message out of the spam folder and get it into the inbox and make sure that people see your messages. I have a 45-minute special access interview with Andrew Warner, who is an entrepreneur who built a $40 million business based pretty much solely on email strategies. And he also uses email now to get in touch with billionaires and millionaires to interview them. So he knows all kinds of stuff about email. It's a great talk. I know you'll like that part. And Andrew also gives his recipe for the perfect email in that interview. I also include Attention Thievery 101, which is a copywriting course. And you can see how this would be extremely important for email, right? It's a great bonus, a great bundle with this, because it shows you how to use words to get people to take the actions you want to take. And so that it's a great compliment, a great bonus for the How to Email Important People course. And then there's also a Better Communication Guide, which is specifically a guide for service providers and freelancers like yourself. And just to wrap up here, I know obviously I like the course, right, because I created it, but a testimonial from someone who's actually used it. This is from Lachlan Cotter, and he says, "This is everything a how-to resource should be, clear, succinct, actionable, and most importantly, tested. I wish every product was produced to the standard." And I was really grateful for Lachlan for saying that, because you can be sure that I didn't ask him to give a testimonial, but that was great. Anyway, so the bonus I want to do for you guys, and Ed doesn't even know that I put this together yet, and I may change it to Monday now if the recording doesn't go up till then, but there's a special discount available just for you for being on this webinar. So there's over $300 worth of value easily, probably much, much more than that. And usually this course is $99, but right now I'll give you it for 33% off. So you'll get it for $66 if you go to passivepanda.com/email, and then you can use the discount code FREELANCE. So FREELANCE is the discount code. Just type it in after you hit add to cart, and passivepanda.com/email. Just hit add to cart, discount code FREELANCE, and you'll be set. And I guarantee that you'll love this course. And if you don't, money back guarantee for an entire year. You can keep the course after you're done. I don't even care. I know that this stuff will work for you because it's worked for me, and it's worked for dozens and hundreds of other people who have put everything together and everything, all the tips in this course to use. I'm sure that you'll love it. So, with that said, Q&A is now open. I don't know if Crystal's going to run it or if Ed's going to run it. Whatever you guys want to talk about any of the tips I covered today, any questions you have on the course, any specific questions about what you're struggling with email, I'm here to answer whatever you guys got. We got about 10 minutes left, so we can just sort of keep going, and I'm happy to stay on and answer questions as long as you guys have them.
Great, James. Thanks so much. Crystal, why don't you go ahead and provide the instructions for the Q&A?
Absolutely. We've already got some questions that have come in from those that are listening via the webcast, so I'll give you both types of people how to ask your questions, and then we'll get going. So for those of you who are on the phone, if you'd like to ask a question, what you'll need to do is press star 2 on your telephone keypad, and this will place your question in the order it was received. And what I'll do is unmute each call in order and let you know it is your turn by saying the last 4 digits of your number or your location, whatever identifier I have for you. So before you ask your question, please state your name and then go ahead as soon as you're unmuted. For those of you who are joining by the webcast and listening by the webcast, all you need to do is type your question into the submission form on the lower left-hand side of the page and press submit. And as I receive those questions, I'll read them out. So would you like me to get started reading out some of the questions that we received during the webcast?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So we have a question from Lisa. What if I don't receive a response to my first email?
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Lisa. I really appreciate you logging in today. That's a very common question that people have, and I'll give you my strategy, and it adapts a little bit based on who you need to contact. So my typical approach is the more popular the person is, or the more email that you expect that you guess that they get, the longer I will wait for a response. Because, you know, some people, there's people out there who receive thousands of emails every day, and you just can't possibly expect them to process those, you know, in a quick and timely fashion. So if that's the case, then I'll usually give people a week, maybe even a week and a half to respond. And a lot of people worry about not getting a response. Honestly, not getting a response isn't that big of a deal. If you don't get a response, then feel free to contact them again. What you should worry about more is getting a negative response, right? So like if people tell you, don't contact me, I want nothing to do with this, well, that's much worse. If they don't say anything, then, you know, maybe it got lost in the inbox, maybe they were really, really busy that week. This happens all the time. I've had multiple people respond to my emails and say, hey, you know, this is awesome, I'd love to help out, but honestly, this week's just a bad time for me. And maybe they didn't even have time to write that type of email, right? So I would not worry about someone not responding. My typical approach would be this. If they don't get back to you in, you know, if they're not that busy, then I would expect them to respond in 3 to 4 days. If they don't get back to you within that time frame, then feel free to email them again. Like I said, if they're a very popular person, then maybe give them a week, week and a half. And if that's the case, then and you don't get a response, then feel free to send a similar message again. And don't make a big deal of it. Don't say like, hey, I emailed you about this earlier. See the attached email below, and you know all this stuff. Like they don't, you know, it's not a big deal. Just see if they'll if they'll respond to your request again. Maybe frame it in a slightly different light. We talked earlier about the difference between prevention and promotion. So it's possible that maybe your message just didn't quite resonate with them the way you phrased it last time. So maybe you could tweak the message a little bit and phrase it differently. And as far as like how many times do I keep following up, because I feel like that's an easy follow-up question to this, I would usually say don't go overboard the first time. So that first sequence of messages, you know, if you're going to email them and then wait a week and then email them again and then wait a week and then email them, like, don't keep pestering right away. So email them, maybe wait a week, send a follow-up message if they don't get in touch. If they don't respond to that one, maybe wait a month, maybe wait 2 months. You know, give it a little bit of time. Do something else with your time that shows them that you're serious about the requests you've been making, and then you can email them again in 2 or 3 months down the line and say, you know, hey, Mark, I reached out to you back in January. I just wanted to follow up, and, you know, and then you can highlight whatever you were talking about earlier and then say, I also wanted to give you an update on my progress because I've been working really hard on this issue. And then you give them like 2 or 3 examples of what you've been doing in the time since you first contacted them. Just show them that you're serious about the topic, that you're, you know, that it's something that's important to you, and you're not just making a request because you'd like them to help you out, right? Like, you're going to make this happen whether they get in touch with you or not. That should be the general underlying theme there. So hopefully that helps.
We have another question from Kathy. She says, thanks for the great tips for finding clients through email. What do you do if you don't know if the person is motivated by prevention or promotional opportunities? And a second question, hoping you can comment on finding an agent or publisher for a book based on this method.
Yeah, sure. So thanks, Kathy. I appreciate you being here too. So I'll try to answer these questions separately here. First, what to do when you don't know if they're a prevention or promotion-based person. That can be hard, right? Typically, here are 2 other caveats that I want to bring up about getting in touch with people over email, and both of these will help increase the response rate, even if you don't have all the answers about like the type of person they are or what they respond to, things like that, right? First is, you know, do your best to, if it's a really important email, for example, like your second question, getting in touch with a book agent or a publisher, right? Like, you want to make sure you do that right. So it's really easy to get excited about an idea, for example, writing a book, right? It's really easy to get wrapped up in that and say, you know, because we all have those moments, right? Those like days during the week or those weeks where we say, you know, I'm going to make this happen. This is awesome. I'm really pumped about this. And you go all out, and then you email 50 people in one night, and, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, I wish I would have had more information when I got in touch with somebody, right? So don't be careful about jumping in. You know, I am all for consistent and motivated effort, and I don't want to tell you not to do something, right? But just make sure that you do the best you can to research the people you're getting in touch with before you reach out to them, because when you I compare self-promotion to a sprint or in a marathon, right? Like, the guys that no one likes when they self-promote are the sprinters, right? They're running all over the place. They're just trying to get to the finish line as fast as possible, and whatever they can do to get them there, whoever they can use to get them there, they're fine with it. But the marathoners, right, they're the ones who take it slow, right? They're steady and consistent, and they make sure that they have the whole race mapped out beforehand, before they start running, you know, full bore. So even if you don't know if a person's prevention or promotion based, just do your best to map the race out beforehand, right? Like, do your best to research the people. Even if you don't know if they'll respond to that particular lean on the message, you can know what type of message they might be interested in based on their past actions, based on the projects they've worked on. And if you can strike a chord with them, you know, say you were getting in touch with someone really important, a book publisher, for example, or a book agent, and you knew that they were big into a certain nonprofit. And that, you know, I mean, if you did a little bit of research on them and found out that they spoke at a nonprofit event, you could say, hey, it's really cool that you did work for this nonprofit. I think they have a great cause too. Boom, go into your message, right? Because then you have a common thread that you're talking to. And even if you don't know if they're prevention or promotion based, that could be very beneficial. The second topic about getting a book publisher or a book agent, we're actually very fortunate here because Ed's on the phone and he's a published author. So perhaps he could give a better indication of that process. I have not gone through it myself personally. And so I'm a fan of talking, as I'm sure you noticed, but I don't like talking on subjects I don't feel qualified for. So I don't want to act like I have all the answers when I don't. So Ed, maybe you can give a quick tip or two on that.
Well, you know, in our case, it was a little different. So Steve Sloan-White, one of my co-authors, has a few books to his name that are already traditionally published, and he had worked with an agent. So all it took was really for him to email him, and you know, we already had the book proposal put together, and said, "Are you interested? You know, can we send you the book proposal?" And he said yes. So I wish I had more insight than that. I think with what James is saying, he's completely correct. You really want to do with emails like that, they're very important. You want to do your research, and it's a little tricky because you need a lot of information. You want to go through as much as possible so you can pick the best way to frame the email, but then you need to keep it very, very short because this is simply a test to see if there's an interest, if you can get them to respond. And then what you're going for is kind of maybe a series, chunking up your information into a series of a couple of emails that will hopefully then lead to a phone call, rather than trying to spill everything into the first email. Because as James said, it's just, you know, it's going to look overwhelming, and then they're not going to look at it, they're going to put it off, and then they're going to forget about it.
Yeah. Just while you were talking there, I thought of something else too. If I was going to go through this process, I'll tell you the approach I would take. Now, I don't know if it'll work in, Kathy, in your particular instance, but this is what I would do. You can spend a lot of time, right, hours emailing all these different book agents, but instead of spending all the time doing that, I would spend it emailing people who are in their network. So you can search for as many book agents as you can on LinkedIn, right? Try to find the ones that are appropriate for your specific topic who have worked on books like yours before. And then start, you know, getting in touch with people in their network. Just add them on LinkedIn and say, you know, something relevant to their particular experience, and, you know, and see what they're doing. And then if they can give you an introduction to that person, because I know a lot of book agents don't take unsolicited requests, it might be much more beneficial for you to email the people that know them that might be able to give you an intro, as opposed to, you know, just cold emailing the book agent themselves.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I would, you know, if I were to do this all over again, what I would do is reach out to other authors and see, which I've already done that without really having a book in mind, but other authors to see who they've worked with and see what they liked about that person, didn't like about that person, and then look for maybe one or two agents that seem to fit the type of book that I'm looking to publish. And based on what I'm hearing from my friends and colleagues, then really zero in on those people. And then, like you said, try to get an introduction. That's going to be key. In fact, an author friend of mine has already said, you know, I will gladly make that introduction for you.
Yeah, so that's great. That's definitely the best way to go.
We have an
all right. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
We have time for.
Go ahead.
Okay, we have one really quick question and one longer question, and then we'll cut it off, if that's okay with everybody.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so the quick question is, what was the subject line for the email to Lisa?
It was referred by sorry, you mean the one I broke down. You know what? Give me 2 seconds here, and I'll look it up and tell you. Let's see.
Good question, because that's key.
Yeah. It was just the name of the media company. Also, I didn't even give her any specific intro. Actually, looking at that again, that's probably why I didn't include it in this example, to be honest, because that's not a great subject line. If I had to do it again, honestly, it doesn't matter too much. Just your subject line should be about the email that you send. I get a lot of requests from people asking, like, proven subject line tips and tactics. People want to game the system with subject lines more than any other part of email. I don't know why. I think it's because internet marketers have gone and said that they have all these proven subject line headings, and those might work when you're emailing 10,000 people at a time on a list, right? Because you can't address it to people individually. But when you email one person, you don't need to, like, play the odds, right, to get the best subject line opener. You just want something that is relevant to the message so that they know what to expect when they read it. And so I would just say whatever your request is, make it either about the company, you know, just subject line, company name, or about the request, something, you know, something short. If you're, a lot of people worry like, oh, if I put what this is actually about, they won't open it. Which in my mind is like, why are you emailing them in the first place? If you're worried that they're not going to open a subject line that's about the email, then they're probably not going to respond to the email the way you want them to anyway. So, anyway, sorry, went on a bit of a rant about subject lines there, but my mine was just about, it was just the company name.
Hey James, if I can add something there, we talk about this in the email prospecting program, but I'm a big fan of, well, first of all, you need to relax. So think about, okay, what would you do if you're writing to someone who you know, you don't even have to think about this, you know you've earned the right to send them an email, okay? So I think when you look at it from that perspective, automatically you relax and you stop trying to game the system or trying to come up with this, like, incredible subject line that's going to hypnotize them or whatever, right? So that's the one thing, your perspective. Secondly, not just make your subject line about the email, but I like to make the subject line, or I like to make the first sentence a continuation of the subject line. Not a continuation in terms of being part of the sentence, but you have a subject line and then right away continue it in either the first or at the latest, the second sentence. So I wouldn't have said something that it's at the bottom of the email. I wouldn't have made that subject line, okay, because there's going to be a disconnect. You got about like 1 or 2 seconds to really make sure that it's credible. And if you hide that, if you take an excerpt from later on in the email and use it as your subject line, they're going to think that it's being tricked. So it needs to continue that conversation. Whatever sparked their interest in the subject line, you need to get to it right away.
Yeah, I agree. One of the best emails I ever received was the request in the subject line, and then the one sentence in the email gave it more context, and then it was just the guy's name. And I was like, yeah, that perfect. You know, that's all it needed. But I agree. Yeah, those are good points. All right, Crystal. So what's the last question here?
Okay, the last question. And just for those of you who can't stay, like we said, this webinar is recorded and it will be available, so you'll have access to all of this. The last question was from Margaret, and her question is, how do you get past the important person's gatekeeper, or how to get the gatekeeper on your side?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially when it's the, you know, and it depends on the instance. Sometimes it's the secretary that you have no idea who it is, right? And the other time, it's, you know, it might be the assistant of an entrepreneur or someone like that. My first suggestion, if it's an assistant of someone who, you know, an author or someone like that that you're trying to get in touch with, a lot of times those people are very interesting themselves. And so they have access to all kinds of information. They've been exposed to a bunch of cool things that their author, their entrepreneur, their boss, whatever, has done. So it's worthwhile to actually email them and just say, hey, like, do you want to chat? You know, let's chat on Skype for 15 minutes or something like that. Anything relevant, because anything you're going to make a request for that their boss has done, so let's just say, for the sake of this example, let's say that it's an author, right, and you want to get in touch with them, but you know that your email is going to be filtered by their assistant, okay? I would just shoot an email to their assistant and ask if they, you know, if they wanted to talk for 15 minutes about their experience with, you know, book publishing or, you know, marketing books or whatever, because those people have all kinds of information. You would be surprised how useful that conversation will be just for you alone. And then after that, after they've had a little bit of chance to, like, you know, take the edge off, they get to know you a little bit and you get to see what they're about, then you can ask them, would you be willing to, you know, to introduce me to your boss? Or I have a, you know, a quick question for them. Could you forward this email to them? Something like that. Well, then, you know, then they'll absolutely be on your side. The other instance is that you email somebody and it gets filtered by their secretary or whoever their admin before you even knew that, you know, you thought you were emailing them, but it just got caught in the fishnet and never got through. In that case, I would switch gears, and instead of trying to pound the, you know, the secretary with emails and just keep getting them bounced back to you, I would get on LinkedIn, I'd hop on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whoever, and try to get in touch with other people in their network and then see if they can give you an introduction to that person. Because if you send another email, and even if this one gets caught by the secretary, a lot of times they'll get through or they'll at least reply back and ask for more information. If you send an email and say, you know, hi, John, I met, you know, Shelly Smith at, you know, conference Y, and she said that we should get in touch. Well, then all of a sudden you have mutual contact, and the secretary will probably forward that, or the gatekeeper will probably, at the very least, get in touch with you and ask for a little bit more information before you guys talk. So that's those are two ways to sort of move that along a little bit.
Okay, thank you so much. I think that covers our questions, and we have gone over time. So I'm going to end this bonus call. Like we mentioned, the replay will be available from the EPP home by Monday morning. And if you have any questions about it before then, give me an email, crystal@internationalfreelancersacademy.com. Thanks, Ed, and thanks, James. Sorry, I think that.
Yeah, no,
up.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate being on. Ed, thanks a lot for having me on again, and Crystal, you did a great job running it. So, everyone, I hope you enjoyed the information, and thanks so much. Hopefully we'll talk soon. If you have any questions or want to get in touch again, just send me an email, james@passivepanda.com. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, James. Mm-hmm.